we have a lot of lengthy discussion about the man. And as we know, the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Brura, maybe you do know, maybe you don't know, I'm sorry that I said that, but the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Brura say that if somebody says Parshas Haman every day, not on Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, but somebody who says Parshas Haman every day, Muftach lo shelo yismatu mizonosav, that person can be assured that they will have a good parnasa. Now, why is that? Is it some kind of segula? Is it some kind of superstition? The answer is no. The answer is that if you remind yourself every day that just as in the days of the Midbar when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with the man and we were completely reliant and dependent on him and we were able to be successful because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us, if you have that frame of mind, if you have that mindset, then you will never have a problem in life. If you always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there taking care of us in every way possible. That being said, although we should remind ourselves of the story of the man, that being said, the Gemara writes in Maseches Nida Daf Ayin, Ma Yasa Adam V'Yashir. What should a person do if they want to get wealthy? If that is your aspiration in life, for whatever reason, you want to be wealthy. So what do? Says the Gemara, the obvious answer is, Yarbe B'Schora, you should go get a job, and V'Yisa V'Yitain, and you should go and interact with other people and try to hustle and do whatever you can to make money. Sounds like a good idea. Says the Gemara, really? But I think it would be important that you have another component, right? So the Gemara, Yivakesh Rachamim Mi Shehaosher Shalo. You should also make sure that although you go out and find a job, and although you're hustling, and although you're going to school to best provide for yourself in the opportunity that you're going to go out and get a job, although all that is very, very important, the Gemara still says you also have to make sure that there's an element of Yivakesh Rachamim. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be able to help us to get the parnasa that we look for, to get the job that we want. And you can go to all the greatest schools in the world and you can be the smartest, the most talented person in the world. And I'm sure all of us have seen very smart and very talented and capable people who just simply cannot make a parnasa. And I'm sure many of us have seen people who we never would have imagined would be as successful as they are, and yet they are. And there's a lot of siyata d'shmaya involved. And that is what the Gemara says, that both components are necessary. And that is important to know, because although the Mishnah Brura writes we should think about Parshas Haman, and we should say Parshas Haman, at the same time, the Gemara says you also have to go get a job. You also have to go find a parnasa for yourself. Yarbe b'schora is a very important component. So the Gemara Maseches Brachos Lamed Hei Amud Beis has a very important discussion, dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, two of the most important and famous Tanaim. And there the Gemara says, what is the most optimal way for a Jew to live life? On the one hand, the Torah says in Kriya Shema, we say it every single day, Ve'asafta deganecha. Ve'asafta deganecha means what? You have to go out and get a job. Now, how many jobs were there in the days of the Torah? You were either a shepherd or a farmer. So the Torah says, go out and be a farmer. Go out and get a parnasa. That's what it means. On the other hand, the Torah says that I have to make sure that I'm going to focus on Limud HaTorah. We know V'limadatem Osam es b'neichem. We know that we have a mitzvah to teach Torah, to learn Torah, to live lives of Torah. So the Gemara there has a discussion. If I'm going to go out and get a parnasa, how am I ever going to learn Torah? There's going to be no time left in the day. So way back when, it used to be, people had jobs that were only 9 to 5. Or people had jobs from sunrise to sundown in the days of the Gemara. But now, as we know, many of the professions that we will be going into are going to be not a 9-to-5 job. They're going to have tremendous expectations of us. I just had a woman who called me, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. I don't know exactly what her job is, what her profession is, but she told me that she has very flexible hours because she has a couple, 3 or 4 young children at home. And as a result of that, they allow her to be flexible. But because of that, she's also working very late at night after the kids go to sleep. And she said that she works very closely with a team of 2 or 3, and sometimes it gets very uncomfortable. She's working with another religious man on this team, and they're texting each other till midnight, and they're back and forth, and whatever they're doing. And she said, like, what am I supposed to do to make sure that I am protected? And I think leaving religion out of it for a moment, the fact that we're Jewish is an added component to this, but leaving religion out of it for a moment, I think we all need to have certain gedarim. We all need to be very careful. In the workforce today, we have a tremendous amount of expectation on us. Sometimes we're going to be working with others. Some of them will be from the opposite gender. Some of them are not going to be Jews. I'm sure we're going to have many different kinds of experiences of people who are at odds with our kinds of hashkafa. And we have to figure out how we're going to remain strong. Of course, the asafta deganecha is very important, but how do you remain committed as a Jew? That is a very important value that we need to think about. So the Gemara says, what is one supposed to do? How could it be v'asafta d'ganecha that I'm supposed to go get a job at the same time that I'm also supposed to be learning Torah? So what's the optimal way of life? And the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that we should try to find some kind of balance. We should try to have a parnasa, and we should also try in our extra time that we have after we get home from work or before we go out to the office, we should be as committed as possible to Limud HaTorah. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was a maximalist, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, no, the best way to live life is to just be focusing on Limud HaTorah. That's all. And the Gemara actually writes there that Harbe Asu ki Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai velo alsa biyada. There are many people who tried the option of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, which was just focus on Limud HaTorah, do not go get a job because you're going to be too distracted from learning and that is not a good value. And many tried to do Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and they did not succeed. They failed. That's what the Gemara says. Many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, which was to have a balance, to try to work when we can, to try to learn when we can, to try to figure out how to make the proper balance. And the Gemara said that that worked. And that is what we are told in Pirkei Avos. Yafe, Talmud Torah, in Derech Eretz, which is what I wrote on the top. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos that Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz is very important. And then the Mishnah says, V'chol Torah she'eni mamalacha, sofa betela v'goreres avon. If a person learns Torah and they don't have a malacha, in the end, they're going to do something wrong. Why? Because you're going to end up stealing money from someone. You're going to do illegal things. You're not going to be a good citizen because you can't be. You don't have any money to sustain your lifestyle. And that is the comment of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is also why the Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Vav, Yelech La'asakav. The Shulchan Aruch writes unequivocally, very, very clearly, that we all have to go and get a parnasa. The Kol Torah She'ein Ima Malacha, Sofa B'Tela V'Goreres Avon. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mishnah. Now, I'm going to be totally honest. What I'm presenting today is the Hashkafa that I was brought up in, the home that I was raised in, the community that I, and I assume all of us in the room, are a part of. There are others who feel otherwise, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. What is the hashkafa of the others that don't see it the way we do, or perhaps the way we might think? But it's important for us to just be a little bit aware of where this all comes from and where our hashkafa actually is rooted. So we look in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, and it's here on the source sheet in number one. Writes the Rambam, Maila gedola hi, it is admirable, it is meritorious for a person. Lefi lemishu misparnes mimaisa yadav, says the Rambam, don't feel bad if you are the kind of person that is a hardworking individual that goes out and you are able to support your family because of the work that you do. It is a maila gedola, it is a good thing, says the Rambam. Umidas chasidim harishonim hi, and that is the chosen path, that is the chosen course of life for righteous people. If you want, you can sit here. There's two desks. I have to put on the floor. And here, says the Rambam, if you live that kind of life, a hard worker who uses their hard-earned money to take care of their family, you will live a good life in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. How do we know? Because the Pasuk says, Yigia kapecha ki sochel. If you are going to work hard and you have Yigia kapayim, which means everything that I bring in because of my hard work, Ashrecha v'tovlach. What does Ashrecha mean? Ashrecha means you are blessed. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh. Ashrecha means you'll feel fulfilled. It feels good when you work hard at something and you come home and you feel that you've succeeded. So you have a good olam hazeh. Ashrecha b'tov lach la'olam haba. And you have a good place in olam haba as well. Now, many places throughout Shas and the Midrashim, we find that Chazal share the same sentiment. Most poignantly, the Medrash writes the following in number Beis here, if you look. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer. What does it mean when the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, Leman yivarechacha Hashem Elokecha, bechol ma'aseh yadecha asher ta'aseh? That is the Pasuk in Sefer Devarim. What is that a reference to? Says the Medrash, Yachol yehe yoshev v'batel, if the Torah promises me that I'm going to be successful, Leman yivarechacha Hashem Elokecha, that God is going to bless everything that I'm involved with, you might think, mistakenly, that that means I can be an idle, unproductive human being, and just also just reap the benefits of God giving me blessing. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Bechol asher ta'aseh, im oseh mizbarech. There's a tnai, there's a condition, there's a stipulation. If I am involved, if I invest of myself, then I will get the blessing. And if not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're on your own. You need to fend for yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to partner with us when we are willing to work hard. Now, exactly to what extent and to what length one needs to go in terms of their hishtadlus, how do you strike the proper balance? That is a very complex and complicated question. That is very hard for us to understand. And we all need to be honest at a certain point in life and ask ourselves, really, at any stage of our lives, we need to ask. So I'm working really hard for this company. Ask yourself, take a step back. Why am I working hard? Because I need to take care of my family. Okay, sounds great. Now, how much money do I need for my family to live? X amount, fine. It's probably a good idea to make more than X amount. You don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck every month. So I work harder in order that I should... It doesn't always work that way, but I'm just playing out the scenario. So I work harder in order that I should have more, that I should have savings in case of an emergency, I should have a lot of savings, whatever. At what point do we say we have no quality of life left anymore and this is just not worth it? I'm not just making money that I should have a little bit of extra in the bank to be able to take care of an emergency. What am I working for? Do we ever take a step back and ask ourselves, so I want that my family should be able to be provided for, but what kind of family life do I have? Is this all worth it? I'm going to turn around when I'm 55 years old after I lost all the years of raising my children, after I lost all of that experience because it all slipped away from me because I was working so hard. They always say the joke, nobody dies and on their deathbed, nobody says, you know, I have such regrets that I wasn't in the office more. Nobody has ever said that. There are many people who on their deathbed say, I have great regrets that I was not with my children more, that I was not with my spouse more, that I didn't get more involved in my community, that I wasn't involved in the school, that I didn't build this, that I didn't do that. But nobody says, I really should have been in the office more. That's not what people say. So it's kedai not to have to wait till we're 119 years old to ask ourselves that question. It's kedai to think about it as we go through the journey of life. How much money do I actually need? And am I working so hard that I cannot even experience life and I cannot experience my family and I just can't be there for them because I'm doing too much? And this becomes a very, very difficult kind of endeavor to remain focused. That although we work hard and it's b'chol ma'asei yadecha and it's ve'asafta deganecha and we all invest of ourselves to have a good parnasa, it has to all be with the understanding that this is a hishtadlus. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us, the Ribono Shel Olam dispenses the bracha in our lives, and it's so easy to forget and to overlook. And that is why the Mishneh Berurah writes that saying Parshas Haman every day is extremely valuable, because it is able to refocus our attention. It's able to remind us of exactly where all of our parnasa comes from, and it's important for us to keep in mind that perspective of where everything comes from. HaKesef Shelohu, everything we have belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chafetz Chaim wrote very authoritative, and I say, I guess, imposing words, we're going to see in a minute, when he addressed the general working class citizen in his community. And he wrote an open letter, and he begins that it's so crucial, it's so important, it's so essential that we educate our children and we make sure that we give them the best opportunities they can have, and we send them to school, and we make sure that they're going to become professionals, and they should have financial success in the world. The Chafetz Chaim gets into all that. You may be surprised. Why is the Chafetz Chaim worrying about whether our children are going to have a good job? But yes, he thinks it's very important, and the Chafetz Chaim focuses on that. But then, says the Chafetz Chaim, it is very important to keep something else in mind as well. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Mikol Makom. Okay? Look here in number Gimel. Mikol Makom. All of that being said, we educate our children and we make sure that they have opportunities to get a good parnasa and to be able to be self-sufficient in life. Mikol makom, gam zeh shemalamed lebno umnis. Even somebody who teaches their child to have a profession. Sarach lekuli alma lelamdo mitchila gam be'eshehu panim imalachto Torah v'yirah shamayim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you also need to make sure that you train your children to have a foundation, to be knowledgeable, to be informed in Torah and Yirah Shamayim. And that is not limited to somebody who is in the chinuch track. That is something that is important for every single Jew. De'i lav hachi, because if not, yimtza b'malachto gufa kama inyanam me'isr gezel. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it is impossible for you to run a business or to have a job without knowing what the Torah expects of you. And if you don't know what the Torah expects of you, there is no way you're going to be a good Jew in the workforce. You have to know what it means to be a good Jew before you go out to work. And he says, "V'yesh takalos rabos." There are many dangers. There are many pitfalls. U'pirtzas hadas legamri chas v'shalom. There are people who completely disregard, completely reject, and they dismiss everything about what the Jewish religion has to say when they are in the workforce. And specifically in our generation, Shayadua, that everyone knows, Shem lo yia kavua benafsho min urav yidias haTorah shmiros haMitzvos, says the Chafetz Chaim, I have seen that when parents do not educate their children about the importance of having a strong foundation in Torah and Mitzvos, it will come to a point when they go into the workforce and they are doing everything wrong, not even realizing that they're doing anything wrong. But says the Chafetz Chaim, it is very, very important that we make sure that we have both of these objectives will be met, and something that we have to make sure never to neglect at all. So of course, academics are very important to us, professionalism is important to us, getting a good career and a good job, and we have students in our class, we have a very large class, we have students in our class who are going into all kinds of different professions. V'shekulam yatzlichu, everyone should be matzliach, but the foundation of success is, as a Jew, not only financial success, but understanding what does the Torah expect of me in this working environment. And that goes for every area of professionalism that we may go into. So a teacher has a certain set of rules that they should abide by, and a businessman or woman has a different set of rules that they need to think about and different issues that come up. And if you're going to be in the business world, then you have to start thinking about ribbis. What do you know about ribbis? You may know nothing at all about ribbis, but it's something that we all have to be aware of if we're going to be involved in business, or maybe even not involved in business and other things as well. Ribbis is a very important issue, but that is one of the many, many issues that we will confront. And this is something that I think needs to be emphasized because it is not emphasized enough. In our community, I think it's a tremendous chisaron in our community. We focus on our children getting the best education they can have and going out into the workforce. And look, our children are these religious boys and girls who go out and get all these jobs, and it's all great. But we need to also build a foundation of how a Jew is supposed to act in the workforce. And what are they supposed to do once they get there? And how should they be successful not only in their professions, but also as Jews? Rav Kook has an amazing comment where he says, we daven every Rosh Chodesh, when we usher in the new month, we say, we hope that we will have Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chet. We hope that we will live a life where we have Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. Says Rav Kook, when we mention that, we say, Chaim Sheyesh Bahem. Bahem means incorporated in the life that we live. It's not two separate parts of my life. It's not the shul part of my life and the shir going part of my life, and then I go to work. No, it's Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Yiras Shamayim. Incorporated inside of every aspect of my life is that I should make sure that I integrate, that I combine the Yiras Shamayim in everything that I do. The Ribono Shel Olam belongs everywhere in our lives. This is what Yaakov Avinu says. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu runs away from his parents' home and he ends up falling asleep. Vayifka b'makom v'yalan shem. Yaakov Avinu falls asleep. Now, where is that place that he falls asleep? The answer is Har Maria, the Har HaBayis. Yaakov wakes up after he has this dream, Malachi Elohim, Olam Yordim, an amazing, amazing insight that he was given into the world. And at that point, Yaakov wakes up and he's shocked. And he says, Achein Yesh Hashem HaMakom Azeva Anochi Lo Yadati. I had no idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. I didn't know that this was the Har HaBayis. Rashi writes there on that pasuk, Ilu yadati lo yashanti sham. Had I known that the Ribono Shel Olam's presence was here, I never would have gone to sleep here. Imagine, you walk into shul one day, you put out your bed with your mattress and your pillow and your blanket, and you go to sleep right in front of the Aron Kodesh. Who would do that? Nobody would do that. So Yaakov says, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed. Ilu yadati lo yashanti sham. If I knew that God was found in this place, I never would have gone to sleep here. So one of the Mefarshim says, but what's so bad? After all, Yaakov Avinu was given the secrets of the world. He sees Malachi Elohim. So if I was told that this is where Hashem is, I would have run to go back there again. Isn't that where a Jew should want to be? So he explains, I think it's the Kutzker explains, perhaps what it means is the following. Yaakov Avinu, until this point in his life, is living in his parents' home, which was the epicenter of spirituality in the world. There was nothing else going on. It was Avram, Yitzchak, and that was everything. And anyone who wanted spiritual matters came to them. Yaakov Avinu says, this is the first time I'm journeying out of my parents' home. This is the first time I'm walking away from that spiritual epicenter, which was my parents' home. And what I'm shocked to learn is, Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. U'v'amakom hazeh, I'm shocked to learn that you can find, that you can unearth godliness everywhere you go. That it is not confined. The Ribono Shel Olam's presence is not confined to the home of my parents or my grandparents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found and can be instilled and can be infused into every experience of my life, even when I'm on the run and even when I'm journeying very far away, miles away from where I was brought up, and a totally different upbringing and a totally different understanding. Yaakov Avinu says, Yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh. This is what I've learned. Says Rav Kook, that's what we daven for. Chaim sheyesh bahem yirah shamayim. Not just a life where I have some yirah shamayim on the side, I have a business on the side here. No, that I have a total integration of what it means to be a yirah shamayim at the same time that I conduct my businesses. I have to say, we have a student in our class, not going to say who it is, nobody look around, doesn't matter. We have a student in our class whose father is a tremendously successful businessman, very well known all over the business sector. And if I told you how erlich this person is, the questions that they have, do you know that in his firm, they have on staff a Dayan in Lakewood who is on staff. He's a full-time employee, not a full-time because he's a Dayan in Lakewood, but he's paid as a member of the company to answer their questions about what the halacha has to say about every contract that they write. He draws up their contracts. He makes sure to make a heter iska whenever there's a business issue that involves some kind of questionable ribis transaction that's going on. Such an error, it's amazing. That's Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Yirah Shamayim. That's people who set up an office with an understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam can be found b'makom hazeh. We don't have two separate lives. I don't live in shul in the morning and then go to my office in the afternoon and act like a different person. My entire life is fully and totally integrated with the values that I learn in the shul in the morning, in my school when I was raised, and I bring all of that into the workforce, and that is what we all strive for. So the Mishnah certainly stresses the importance and the significance, as we said, of having a parnasa. The Gemara does make a very notable exception. There is a dispensation. Who would not have an obligation to go and work? Says the Gemara, if you have a communal leader, if you have somebody who the whole community turns to, such as a Nasi or an Av Beis Din, somebody who represents the community, so the way the Gemara says it, it's in Maseches Horius and Sota and in Chulin as well. The Gemara talks about a number of different places. It doesn't make sense. What are you going to do? You're going to have, let's say, the Chafetz Chaim, right? So he's the undisputed leader of the generation, and you're going to have him going and being a bagger in the supermarket. Is that the way he should be spending his time? That's a disgrace to the community. If the community really values this person and they consider them as leader, then they should take care of that person. And therefore, that is the only dispensation where we say that somebody like that should focus all of their energies and attention not on getting a parnasa, but rather on leading the people, because that is what they're good at. But outside of that, the Gemara says everyone should get a job. Now, it's ironic that I said the example of the Chafetz Chaim, because he did have a store. Chafetz Chaim, in his tremendous humility, did not see himself as a leader of the Jewish people. Chafetz Chaim, in his humility, saw himself as just another person who happened to have a very beautiful pen that knew how to write amazing svarim that everyone in the world still learns today. But the Chafetz Chaim himself would have been one of those individuals who we should say the community should have taken care of him, and he should not have had to go out on his own. So let's see. The Rambam has a very extreme position. The Rambam, it's almost exaggerated. Let's read the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragimel Halacha Yud. And again, when you just read the words of the Rambam, you might be a little surprised to hear them, but we're going to have to get into what's the story. Does everyone agree with the Rambam? Are there other positions that we should be thinking about? So let's begin as follows. The Rambam passed away in the year 1204, so that was a couple of years ago. Maybe somebody should open the door. I think, Amanda, I think the threat is over.
Yeah.
No longer. Everything's cleared.
Everyone's okay. Victim
has been taken care of. Perpetrator is apprehended. Amazing. Okay, let's open the door. Okay, says the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragimel Halacha Yud. For all those who are listening online or are wondering what that was, it was a stabbing right outside of Stern College. Now everyone's okay. It was not a student. Everyone's okay. All right. Says the Rambam as follows. Kala meisim alibo sheyasek b'Torah v'lo yasek b'melacha. If somebody dedicates themselves that they want to only learn Torah v'lo yasek b'melacha, and I say, I don't want to work. I want to have a complete dedication and devotion and commitment to learning Torah. Yisparnes benat staka. What do you mean? But I have a family, so what am I going to do? So yisparnes benat staka. I say, look, the community will take care of me. After all, there are some people in the community that have plenty of money, and they can take care of me. Says the Rambam, hareza chilul es Hashem. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Rambam could have ended that phrase many different ways. The Rambam could have said, somebody who goes and decides they want to learn and they don't want to take care of their family, how's your family going to have food to eat? The answer is, we're going to go and collect charity from the members of the community. The Rambam could have ended that sentence and said, maybe it's not smart of you because maybe people won't have money to give you. That's the way he could have ended. Or the Rambam could have said that, I don't know, he could have said many things, but the Rambam says it's a chilul Hashem. Why is it a chilul Hashem? So the Rambam says that Biza es haTorah, v'kiba ma'ar hadas, v'garam ra la'atzma, v'natal chayav min ha'olam haba. These are very extreme words of the Rambam. It doesn't say about many other things. L'fi she'aser lehanos medivrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, says the Rambam, if you want to be an altruistic person and you want to go and dedicate your life to learning Torah, then be that way. That's your decision. But then you're going to tax other people to have to support you and your family? There's no excuse for that. Says the Rambam, it's almost saying as if like people are going to have a negative impression of the Torah. They're going to say, they're going to resent the Torah itself. You made a decision that you want to dedicate yourself to Torah and I have to pay for it? I'm not interested. Yeah, but your family's starving, so somebody's going to have to pay for it. So the Rambam says this will bring a tremendous chilul Hashem. Bizez haTorah, kibam ar hadas, garam ra la'atzmo. Very, very extreme words of the Rambam with regard to somebody who chooses to dedicate their life to Torah and not to get a pranasa. Okay, along comes the Kesef Mishnah. Anybody knows when the Kesef Mishnah lived? Who was the Kesef Mishnah? Kesef Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Karo, who also was the author of the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. And the Kesef Mishnah is his commentary on the Rambam. How many years after the Rambam's passing did the Kesef Mishnah come onto the scene? 100, you say? Close. It was 285 years later that the Kesef Mishnah was born. So I think you're right. 300 years in, he probably was already learning the Rambam. Right? So 300 years after the Rambam passed away, the Kesef Mishnah comes along, Rabbi Yosef Karo, and he has a long discussion to try to figure out what to do with this Rambam. And he says, listen, you know, the Rambam is... Again, what's interesting about this is usually the Kesef Mishnah and his commentary on the Rambam helps to clarify and elucidate the words of the Rambam. He tries to defend the Rambam if somebody attacks the Rambam. But here, the Kesef Mishnah very aggressively rejects the words of the Rambam and he criticizes him and he denounces the Rambam's position and he says that this is something that we cannot accept. It's just not the case. In every community, there are going to be members who are going to dedicate themselves to the study of Torah, and that is acceptable, and that's the right thing to do. And therefore the Kesef Mishnah says, I don't understand where the Rambam comes from to say such extreme words that it's a chilul Hashem, bizez haTorah, kiba ma'aros, and you're going to lose your olam haba. How can all this be? How can all that be? We know that that is not the case. Look at what we have here from the Kesef Mishnah. Behevi, it's on the second side. Behevi mikama mishnayus moros al sheroi lumod melacha v'afilu nomar she'en kein das rabbeinu elanir midvara b'firash ha-mishnah. He says, even if the Rambam builds up a position that he's correct, that one should never just dedicate their life to Torah only and then expect other people to take care of them, says the Kesef Mishnah, even if that's true, look around. It's not true because this is not what we do. Look around in all of our communities. We do have individuals who dedicate their lives to Talmud Torah only and we take care of them. So it can't be that all of them are wrong. So he says, so, Kesef Mishnah is now bothered. How can it be? The Rambam gives a very extreme position. Writes the Kesef Mishnah, I'm very uncomfortable with his position because there are so many good Jews that I know that have taken that position. So how can this be? On the other hand, when you think about the words that the Rambam says, he seems to be correct because he's coming directly from the words of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? We just learned it. Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. We should make sure to get ourselves a parnasa. We should not rely on other people to provide for us. So, who is right? The Kesef Mishnah writes, on the one hand, I'm torn. The Rambam seems to be correct if you look at the original sources. On the other hand, the Rambam seems not to be correct because when you look around all of our communities, this is not the way our communities function at all. What is the answer? Says the Kesef Mishnah, the answer must be that we saw it as an urgent need. That we must have certain individuals, certain members of our community learning Torah at all times, because if not, the Torah will be forgotten. If every single Jew is going to be out working, we will not have a Torah left to study. Our children will have no Torah to follow. We need some people. And therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, although the Mishnah tells us that it's good for every Jew to have a parnasa and to make sure that they find a balance between parnasa, hishtadlus, yiras shamayim, yiras chet, all these things, says the Kesef Mishnah, we had no choice but to compromise the standard and to say certain Jews are going to have to go out on the limb and we will support them as a community because it is necessary to do that. My father has made a comment in recent weeks. You know, there's a lot of discussion about you know, the Haredi community and the Dati Lumi community in Israel, who's going to the army, who's not. It's a very, unfortunately, a very tense conversation right now, and I understand why it is, because if you have an immediate family member who's fighting, and you turn to the next community and you see that they're not really sacrificing so much the way you are, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. So my father has said in the last couple of weeks a very interesting perspective. Most people, when they talk about this dynamic between the people who are learning in the yeshivas and those who are going out to battle, everyone says, oh, Gemara says, Omdos ha'yiraglenu b'sharayach Yerushalayim, which means, when are we going to be strong on our raglenu? When are we going to have a successful army, which is Omdos ha'yiraglenu? Only b'zman sh'b'sharayach Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says. That it means, you need to have strong learning, and then you're going to have a strong army. You need to have a strong army, then you'll have strong learning. If you have both of them, everything's going to be good. That's what it seems to say in the Gemara. My father has presented it a little bit differently, which I really appreciate his perspective. He said, let's say in the United States, a war would break out, and they would call up hundreds of thousands of reserves. We need many, many people to come serve. So, of course, anyone who's over the age of 65 will obviously not be called up. Anyone who's under the age of 18 is not going to be called up either. So we have 18 to 65, but let's say we don't have enough people. Who is an automatic disqualifier from being in the army? Who are we going to leave behind and say, you know what, you probably shouldn't serve in the army? Obviously, somebody who's not feeling well, somebody who doesn't have a good medical history, somebody who doesn't have the strength to fight, somebody who's afraid, whatever it is, all those people. But who, let's say everybody was perfectly healthy and able, who would we leave behind? Who would we leave behind?
The teachers.
What?
The teachers.
Teachers would get an exemption. Why?
They have
to teach the kids. They have to teach the kids, right? What are we fighting for if there's nothing that's going to be left after the fight is over? Correct? If there's going to be no culture left behind to be lived, then what's the point of this war? The point of a war is we're fighting for an ideal that we believe in. And we hope that once the war is over, that which is being attacked by our enemy, once that is over, we'll then be able to go back to our principles and to our ideals that we stand for. So the Jewish people stand for Limud HaTorah. The Jewish people stand, that is our culture, it's our society, it's what we are. We stand for a foundation of Torah. If we're not going to have people learning Torah when there's a war, then what are we fighting for? It's a very different perspective. We keep the people learning in the yeshivas at the time when there's a war because we need to remind ourselves that there's something that we are supposed to be fighting for. Why are we fighting now on behalf of the Jewish people? Because we need a state? Is that why? No. It's because we are the Jewish people. And the safest place for the Jewish people to be is in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And we believe that there's some larger vision that we appreciate about what the Jewish people are supposed to be doing in the land of Eretz Yisrael. If we are going to lose our culture by not having Torah study being of paramount importance to us, we have nothing to fight for. To me, it's a very different perspective, and it's fascinating. But that is what we all need to think about. And says the Kesef Mishnah here, maybe that is the answer. Of course, the Rambam is correct. In a perfect world, every person should make sure that they are responsible, that they go out and get a job, and that they make sure that they learn whenever they can. But because we don't live in a perfect world, says the Kesef Mishnah, we have to make sure that there is the culture of the Jewish people that will be preserved. And the only way to make sure that that happens is by ensuring that there are going to be people who will be learning Torah, even if the community is going to have to support them. Now the Maharshal and many other Achronim following him wrote the same idea, that there's some kind of balance that we have to find, that there are going to be individuals who will be singled out to be the ones who are going to then go ahead and learn Torah only and not be involved in anything else. And there are going to be individuals who are going to be members of the community whose job is very, very different. So if the Rambam is the rejected position, how does one then explain the words of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. So how do you explain that? So the Bir Halacha, which is written by the Mishnah Brura, Mishnah Brura passed away in 1933. When he was born at his bris, they didn't call him the Mishnah Brura. They called him Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen. So at the time, he writes that this statement of the Mishnah is said as a general concept. The general population has to go out to work. However, he says, for Yechidim, if you have an individual who is an outstanding person, who is an exceptionally unusual individual, that person, of course, should be encouraged to go out and to dedicate their lives to Talmud Torah. And more than that, says the Mishnah Brura. The truth is, if you look inside, we quoted before the Gemara that discusses the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai versus Rabbi Yishmael. And it says Rabbi Yishmael was of the opinion that people should find the balance between working and learning. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was of the opinion, no, you have to learn the entire day. Torah matahele, what's going to be with the Torah if people aren't learning? So says the Gemara, harbe asur ki Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai velo also biyadam. Many people took the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and it didn't work. So the simple understanding of that is that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is incorrect. Says the Bir Alacha, it's not what it means. Harbe asur ki Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai means too many people took advantage of the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is 100% correct for the Yechidim. For a small group of people, that's the right thing to do. It's not for the Hamonam. We don't say that the entire Jewish society should be out learning all the time. We say that whatever percentage it is that should be learning, and the rest of us should go out and get a job. But that's exactly what the Gemara means. Harbe asu k'Rav Shimon Yochai. Too many people did like Rav Shimon Yochai, and it no longer became an individualistic decision that was based on the capacity and the capability of one person. Once that's no longer the case, so then it gets out of hand, and that is not a sustainable kind of position. So this is what many, many Achronim write, and this is what seems to be the position of the Ramah in Yerudea as well, that of course we need to make sure that we have people who dedicate their entire lives to the area, to the study of Talmud Torah, but at the same time, we have others who are going to make sure that they go out and live life as good, God-fearing Jews who are going to be honest and upstanding in everything they do. What's fascinating about this is that the Rambam himself, who we said before, had very harsh words for somebody who decides that they want to be misparnes min hatzibur, somebody who decides that they want to live off of others and dedicate their lives to Talmud Torah. The Rambam himself had some kind of financial arrangement with his own brother, which is fascinating. Now, maybe you'll say he didn't put himself on his brother. Maybe his brother volunteered and said, I see that you have such a great mind and I see that you're such a exalted person and you're so brilliant, and I want to take care of you. Maybe that was something that his brother initiated. But the Rambam writes the following, which is in the Igeres HaRambam, not the famous Igeres HaRambam. There is a collection of letters of the Rambam. So the Rambam writes there that at some point in his life, it was a terrible accident, a terrible tragedy that happened with his brother. Moso shel hakadosh zechrono levracha shatava bayam hodu. He drowned in the Indian Ocean, the Yam Hodu. Hunasa imo kesef uschara shana duli. Aside from the fact that my brother died, which of course was a terrible tragedy in our family, and I was devastated over that loss, aside from that, my brother also had all the money that was set aside for him to support me. And we had an arrangement. La'atzmu la'achayrim, hu sachar b'shvakim v'herviach v'nasa v'nasan. He went out and he did business. B'shvakim means he was in the marketplaces. V'nasa v'nasan, and he was a businessman who used to go and be involved in all kinds of things. V'ani acholti la'sheves la'vetach b'besi. And I sat in my house and I focused on my learning because my brother took care of me. So you'll ask yourself, how did the Rambam do that? So the Rambam basically says, after his brother died, that whole arrangement fell apart. He didn't know what to do. So how did the Rambam do that? The answer is, maybe the Rambam's brother initiated. The Rambam never said that anyone had to take responsibility for him. The Rambam said, this is what I'm doing. His brother came along and said, I want to take care of you because I want the schus. That's a different story. But for one to then impose of themselves on others, that says the Rambam he feels is not appropriate. Now, how do you determine who is set up for that kind of lifestyle? Who is the individual who should go out and say, I want to be the one who's going to dedicate my life to Klei Kodesh, to learning Torah, or to being in that segment of the population? How do you decide that? Does it go by the one who is the smartest, by the one who is the most charismatic, by the one who knows how to speak well? Like, how do we determine who those people should be? So let's read this Rambam together, and with this we're going to close. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. This is a really important Rambam, where the Rambam asks the following question. V'lama lo zacha Levi benachlas Eretz Yisrael u'bizasa imechav. Why is it that when the Jewish people came into the land of Eretz Yisrael, every Shevet had their own piece of land? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiya b'dvarav. Why is it that every other Shevet had a piece of land except for Shevet Levi? Why were they not entitled to a piece of land? Explains the Rambam, Mepnei Shehuvdal Lavod Es Hashem L'Sharso U'Lahores D'Rachav HaYisharim U'Mishpatav HaTzadikim L'Rabbim. Says the Rambam, what is the job of a Levi? The job of a Levi is to be available and on call, to educate, to inspire, to elucidate the Torah, to inform people of what the Torah expects of them. Shenemar, as the Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, Yoru Mishpatecha liYaakov v'Sarascha liYisrael. And therefore, he says, Lefikach huvdalu midarkei ha'olam. Therefore, Shevet Levi is singled out, and they don't have the same kind of setup in their lives as every other member of any other Shevet. Lo archim l'chama kishar Yisrael. They don't go out to war, even though we draft soldiers from every segment of the population and from every Shevet and every community. The Shevet Levi does not go out. Lo nochlin v'lo zochin la'atzman b'koch gufan elahein chel Hashem. They are referred to as the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe started Tzivos Hashem. That's what it is. That comes from this line of the Rambam where he said there is a concept of people being the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean the physical army going out to fight war, but you are the spiritual army of the Ribono Shel Olam as well. And Shevet Levi was supposed to do that. Now, says the Rambam, a very important Hashkafa point. Velo Shevet Levi Bilvad. It doesn't mean that this is limited to Shevet Levi. If they want to dedicate their lives to learning Torah and to educating, that they're the only ones. Ala kol ish ve'ish mikol bo'i ha'olam. Every single Jew, asher nad varucha oso, if that Jew wants to make their own individual decision, ve'hevinu mado'o lihibadel, lamo lifnei Hashem, l'sharso li'avdo, l'deya es Hashem. If you decide that I want to commit my life to being the person who is going to be fully dedicated to a life in unison with the Ribono Shel Olam, to a life where I'm going to be studying the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, educating other people, kemo she'asahu Elokim, ufarak me'al tzavaro ve'al cheshbonos harabim ma'asher bikshu b'nei ha'adam, says the Rambam, if you make that decision, even if you are not from Shevet Levi, but I say to myself, I want to be like Shevet Levi. I want to live that kind of life. Harezen is kadesh kodesh kadeshin. Says the Rambam, you have elevated yourself to live a life of kodesh kadeshin. V'yia Hashem chelko v'nachalascho li'olam u'la'omei olamim v'yizkelo ba'olam hazeh k'mo shezachal ha'kohanim la'leviim. And says the Rambam, if you do that, you will have the opportunity to have an unbelievably rewarding olam hazeh, and of course you will also be blessed to be given a tremendous portion in olam haba as well. And that Rambam is so critical. Every one of us has the right to make a decision how we want to spend our lives. Again, not all of our successes are talui banu. We cannot decide or determine whether or not we are going to be successful, but all of us can decide a number of things. Number one, we can decide if we are going into a professional life or we are going into a life of klei kodesh. We don't say that one is bidyeved and one is lechatchila. We don't say that one is like, second best, and the other one is... We say every Jew has a right to decide what they want to do. So you can decide what kind of life you want to live. And says the Rambam, if you feel that you are like Shevet Levi and you want to dedicate your life to that, says the Rambam, Nochel Chayi Olam Haba. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach l'olam haba. It's great. However, if you decide that that is not the kind of path of life that you feel is appropriate for you, which is totally legitimate, and if you feel that going into some other line of work or some other profession is going to be something that will bring a honest, good living to you and your family, then, says the Rambam, it is important for us to remember exactly how we need to be living that life. And that is what it means, Chayim Shiyesh Bahem, Yiras Shamayim, the Yiras Chet. We all have to make sure that before we venture out into the big world, right now when you're in Stern College, it's not the big world. It's somewhat of a bubble. Yes, we have diversity in the school, and some of the students are more or less observant, more or less religious, come from different kinds of backgrounds. But the bottom line is, the only reason why students come here is because they want to be in a Jewish environment. You're going to go out into the world and you will see that our values are antithetical to the values of many, many people that you will encounter. And we need to have an absolute resolve that at the end of the day, our commitment lies with the Ribono Shel Olam. Our commitment lies with the Shulchan Aruch. Our expectation of ourselves is that we are going to live a life of Chaim Sheyesh Bahem, Yiras Shamayim, that we are going to have a full and total integration of our Yiras Shamayim, of all the values that we learned, of all the principles that we have been brought up on in the workforce, in whatever profession we choose for ourselves. And Amir Tashem, we should all be Matzliach, but the time to think about that begins now. It's very hard to start thinking about it when you're confronted with the situations and you are flustered at the time and you are put in very difficult positions. It's important to think about it in whatever area of work you plan to go into. Now is the time to think about how we are going to make that fusion between our Jewish lives, our professional lives, and to do it in a seamless way. It is possible. There are great Jews, men and women, who are in every sector of the business world. You should try to find some of them. I'm happy to introduce you to some of them if they are in your field. And I think it's very, very important that we have role models that we can look to who actually are doing a great job at meeting the standards of both professionalism and also of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects and wants from every one of us. I wish all of you a